It's Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Hope you're having a nice weekend as we started up here. And with respect to Bill Berman, with respect to Dominic, even respect to Millie, let's celebrate the man that you see there in the tan, because today is absolutely time to celebrate. Happy birthday, Michael Lombardi.
Thank you very much, Patrick. I appreciate that. I really do. It's good to keep having birthdays as you get older. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You keep on stacking them. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, you got to, you know, as Belichick would say, you got to keep stacking good days up against them. So why not, right? So it's good. Well, it's all good. I'm blessed. I really am. You know, I'm really truly blessed with great grandkids, great sons and daughter-in-laws and wives. And so wife, when that wasn't plural. I didn't mean that to be plural.
No. No, that was so singular, yeah. Millie. Couldn't have been more singular. Well, I hope Dominic gets out of the way today. I love him. I love the king, and I love Millie. But, you know, it's your day. And you forgot Bella the dog, and Leo.
Yeah, well, Bella doesn't care. Bella doesn't care about birthdays. She only wants to do the same thing every day. So we're all good. Everything's good. You know,
good.
It's a day to enjoy those around you that you love. And I appreciate you for mentioning it.
Of course.
And, you know, it's very kind, so we shall see. How are you doing today? How's the heat holding up today?
Oh, no, it's going to cool down today. It's going to be about 110, so we're looking forward to it cooling down here in Vegas. Those on Nesson and Marquee, you have to understand, we're going through something here in the desert. Started early this year, so, hey, can't complain. Prefer it better than the snow. And one thing's for sure, you know, not much happened last night. Maybe we should get into a couple of things, though. One thing is the best birthday present of all.
A couple, three things?
Yeah, the best two words in all of sports. It's a game seven, and we're going to have one today coming up. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Josh texted me early this morning. The pros and Joes are all over the Nets. We'll get into that. And then we're going to have a game seven in Philly coming up tomorrow as the 76ers beat the Hawks yesterday, 104-99. I know you had your steak dinner with Bill Berman and Thomas Gable yesterday, but I know you've watched it by now, and there's a lot to unpack here, Michael Lombardi.
I did. I watched it this morning. You know, we were at the lovely Oceans Resort Casino, tremendous place in Atlantic City. And Thomas was generous enough. He bought both of us dinner. He's tremendous, and we had a great time. I did not see the game live. I got home just in time to watch Maxey hit a couple free throws to put the game out of reach, and then I watched it again this morning. I think they were very fortunate to win that. They played. Maxey was really incredible. He's a player that I've wondered why they haven't played more, because he was everything that Markelle Fultz was supposed to be. Guy can handle the ball, let Simmons play off, you know, space the floor, move things around, penetrate. And I got to give Doc Rivers credit. He put him in the game, and he said he was going to play him early in the game, whether Simmons was in foul trouble or not. But I think the key to the game was Trae Young only went to the line five times. I mean, it's one thing for Trae Young to get all the points. It's another thing to send him there 20 times to the line and stop the clock and let him go there. So I think you got to take that into consideration, and the fact that, you know, even though he had 34 points, they were able to contain everybody else within that, and they only shot 32% from the three-point line.
Where to start here, Michael? Like I said, a lot to unpack. 104-99 win. They do cover. Hawks backers holding that plus three ticket were bitter when the Hawks dribbled out the clock late, but we won't get into that. 223.5 was the closing number as far as the total. Stays well under. You've been killing it with those unders as well. 223.5 stays well under that, Michael.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about the Clipper game. Remember we said, you know, that what worries you about playing an under with the Clipper game is when Utah gets hot and they start shooting well. And they did in the first half, and then the Clippers scored, what, they scored 81 points in the second half, Patrick?
Yeah.
I mean, they were lights. They were draining threes from everywhere. I mean, it was remarkable. The Clippers shot 51% from the three-point line to close out that series, and it went well over that total. So, you know, that's what I think happens to you. When you want to – the under in Philly is different. Under Philly-Atlanta is different than the under – when you're playing unders with Utah, because they're just going to keep launching threes, and when both teams are shooting well, you got no chance to stay under.
Yeah, a record-setting night in Los Angeles, which we'll get to coming up in just a little bit. You mentioned the offense, so proficient in the second half. And the Clippers, first time in 51 years, they make it to the Western Conference Finals, which is almost unbelievable when you think about it. But we will continue with a little 76er talk. Lombardi Line, as we welcome you in. Hi, I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. On a great Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, he's Michael Lombardi, the birthday boy, and we're talking about the birthday celebration that includes a Game 7 coming up tomorrow in Philly. We'll get to the number. We'll get to what's happening as far as Game 7. But a couple of things that I did write down in my notes in regards to Philly. They showed some heart. It's almost like you challenged them. They did. They fell down early by 12, Michael, and kind of battled back and avoid elimination here. Seth Curry continues to be hot. 6 3-pointers, 24 points. Tobias added 24. Embiid 22 and 13. We'll get to him. The start of the game, and it's not really close, is Tyrese Maxey. This guy may end up making Simmons expendable. He is, remember, he's a five-star kid coming out of Dallas, went to Kentucky. Tremendous job drafting him by the 76ers, but he's everything we don't see in Simmons. He's not afraid of the moment. Yeah. He's not afraid to take those free throws, which he hit. He had 16 points off the bench. He was a plus 7. He had 7 rebounds, and you just trust the kid.
You know, he can get to the rim, and I thought what Doc said after the game was how well he defended. I mean, he's very active. He's fast as can be.
He's awesome.
And he was active around defending Trae Young, and I think that was critical. And he showed great energy. And look, his ability to come in off the bench and give them some juice, you know, and made the 3-pointer, came in and got to the rim. I mean, he's 5 of 12 from the line. He was plus 12 in the game, 16 points. You know, look, they turned the ball over 11 times, and Embiid had 8 of them. And Maxey didn't have one. Maxey didn't have a turnover. You know, Simmons had 2, and Curry had 1. Embiid turned the ball over 8 times. I did not think Embiid played very well.
I didn't think
so
either.
I thought he was really, if that was his best game, if that's a game that you got to have him play well, 9 of 24 from the floor. I didn't think he played well. I thought he was, but Curry and Maxey, I think the two players that Morey brought in this team, you know, he makes the great trade. He gets Richardson. He trades Richardson for Curry. Great deal. Curry scores 24 points and Maxey scores 16. You know, we're waiting for Simmons, who had 25 points. He only took 6 shots and 25. Now, he had foul trouble. You know, Tobias Harris had foul trouble, too. And, you know, that's what happens. And you just, you know, he doesn't get enough shots. So I do think you're right, though, Patrick. I do think Maxey is going to be a star.
Star.
I think he's going to be a star, and I think he's going to be a starter next season.
I think he's – I can't get enough of that kid. If the Pistons had drafted him, I'd be thrilled.
The energy –
and just the confidence.
Yeah, I mean, and so much for what happened to that. You have to have a high draft pick to get good players. What happened to that? I mean, you know, what happened to that? I missed that. You know, what was he, 21? 20? Wasn't he somewhere in there?
Yeah, late in the first round.
I mean, think about it. Thibault was in the 20s too. Now, if Thibault ever learns how to shoot, you know, he could really be a dynamic player because of his defense. And his ability to be athletic. You know, Thibault played 11 minutes in the game. He had 2 steals.
Okay,
so he's around the ball. But for me, this is really about, you know, Game 7 has got to be, you know, the mentality has to be we're not playing at home, so home doesn't guarantee us a win. We supposedly are one of the best teams ever at home, and we've already lost 2 home games. We've lost 2 home games already in the playoffs, and 2 of them to Atlanta. So they could beat you at home. I think that's the message, and it's going to be interesting to see the energy level that they come out and play Sunday night in.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a bettor, you're always looking to back up to move forward. So you take a look, 104.99, and we mentioned it stays well under that posted total at 223.5. Now, part of the reason is what the hell happened at the free throw line? If you're the Hawks, you are beating yourself up. They were 13 of 24. 54% from the stripe. And then Philly, not a ton better, although they were 69%. They were 16 of 23, but both teams were horrid from the free throw line. The big difference here, and we talk about adjustments, and you constantly harp on this, and we've been getting on Doc Rivers, but they came out of the break and went on a 14-0 run to start the second half, yep, the 76ers, and that was the catalyst.
They scored 33 points in the third quarter, which was the difference in the game, really. I mean, that's what got them going. They were able to rebound. And I think what Doc said after the game is true. When they can get into their fast break and they can kind of get shots without having to play in the half-court set and they without having to create something off their motion, they're a much better basketball team. And look, you know, when you don't foul Trae, now Trae Young missed two free throws. He was 3 for 5. But when you don't send their best free throw shooter to the line 20 times, you got a chance to win the game. I mean, the last game, even though they had the huge lead, Young was at the line, I think, 21, 24 times. You can't do that. You're not going to be able to do that. And Bogdanović went there. You know, he was 0 for 2 from the line. He was 1 for 6. I don't know what his injury status is going to be for Game 7. But, you know, they got good play out of Gallinari coming off the bench. And then Lou Williams, for as great as he played in Game 6, he was 0 for 5. I mean, he did nothing in the game. He was minus 10 when he came in.
Absolutely. And Bogdanović, that's huge. His status uncertain for tomorrow. But you take a look. I mean, this is a home court advantage that's been legit for Philadelphia the last couple of years at Wells Fargo. It's going to be crazy, as you know, tomorrow. But let's be fair. You just said it. Atlanta's won 2 of 3 in the series at home. So home court doesn't matter. This is about who wants it more.
Right.
I know that's cheesy, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a mentality with your team, right? Like, look, you know, there is this, because the Sixers are not mentally tough, I don't think this win dismisses my feeling that they're not soft. They are soft. And this next game is a classic example of how have they toughened up a little bit. I mean, Doc was already talking about the mentality going into it. Remember, he was talking about habits when they were up by 18, 20 points, trying to encourage them to play better in game five. And he was talking about habits. He knows their habits are bad. He knows they have a tendency to relax. And the mentality is, if we're playing home, we're going to win. You know, and I think the underlying factor in this game last night was the fact that the 76ers had 14 offensive rebounds compared to Atlanta, which had 8. Usually that's the other way around. Atlanta was getting some second chance points in game 5 and in game 4 that they shouldn't have gotten. And Philly finally rebounded the ball on the offensive miss. Look, if you're going to be a bad half court team, you've got to have offensive rebounds. You need more chances. You can't be one and done. And I think that's really was a key. They were plus 6 in that area, and that plus 6 leads to more points, which is ultimately why they were able to get 104 points to get over the 100 mark.
Okay, so we take a look to tomorrow, which is going to be awesome. And I don't know if you've seen the number, but maybe you want to guess on the number.
I have not seen the number. I have not. I mean, the last time they played the Hawks at home, they were favored by 7. Do you think it comes back at another 7 number?
I'm asking you. You tell me.
I would think it'd be 5.5. I'm going to guess 5.5, 6. Let's say 6.
Okay. You're closer with your second guess. It is 7, so they're running it back with that number. I'm a little surprised, too. I thought 6, 6.5, just like you. Now, a couple things, and I'll ask your opinion, obviously. 216.5, so you see the adjusted total. For the bettors out there that are wondering why such adjustments coming down with the totals, well, remember, Game 7's cash to the under. Since 2005, Game 7's in the NBA are hitting at a little over 63% to the under. So defense tightens, and we know this. So 216.5, the adjusted total has come down. But how about 7? You a little surprised by that?
Really surprised. I think they're going to get a lot of Atlanta action. And the fact that it's still 216, Patrick, I mean, last night wouldn't have covered 216.
Yeah.
What was 104.99? I mean, that wouldn't have covered 216. So that's fascinating. Now, I think why that number's at 216, because we know Philly has played, even though they've lost a lot, they've lost at home and they've blown big leads, they score better at home. There's an energy vibe at home. So you got to believe that this number, you feel like they had to set it higher than 212, 213 because they think Philly's going to be able to score. And it could be a little bit more open court in favor of, even though it's a 7th game and things tend to tighten down, Philly needs to have the open court. They're not a good half court team.
Also remember, the teams were a combined 19 of 47 from the free throw line. So as a bettor, you have to assume some of those are going to be made
up. That's a great point.
You know, so
that's a great point. Yeah.
19 of 47, my goodness, they were missing everything. The game, now as we take a step back, the game itself was entertaining. I don't know if you saw Embiid, my gosh, now that you've said it, as far as him laying on the ground,
Have you ever seen a guy on the ground more?
No. When he scores a basket, he's on the ground.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The guy falls to the ground. Look, I agree with him. I mean, Trae Young gets more calls than anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, he's little, and I do think there's a part of Embiid that's hard to referee because he's so big and he's so dominant. I mean, that offensive foul they called on him before.
John Collins?
Collins got into it. I mean, how is that an offensive foul? He was in the Collins was in the circle. I mean, and they challenged it, and they still didn't get it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. You know, but you know, I agree with – I mean, it fits the dynamic of Embiid. He's an excuse maker. Everything's an excuse. But in this case, I do think he's being refereed unfairly because he's so big – I think they don't give him the benefits. Like Shaq, he was so big and so dominant, they didn't give him a lot of that. And Trae Young's so little and diminutive, they give him every call. I mean, if you breathe on Trae Young, he's getting a foul. I mean, he was screaming for calls. You know, that three he hit from way downtown, right by the logo, that Maxey kind of went up to it, and then Maxey turned his body on it. I mean, I thought for sure they're going to call a foul on that. It was a glance.
It's almost like the force. A great comparison is Shaq. When Collins was underneath the rim, I mean, it's almost just because Embiid is so strong and so forceful that you have to call something based on, but he was.
Yeah, but how is it on him? I mean, the guy was in the circle.
I know.
And like, what was Embiid going to do? And then to me, when Embiid got punched in the mouth on the dunk, I mean, how is that a foul on Embiid?
It's look, an ice tray. Trae Young, by the way, for your birthday, I'm going to get you those ice trays. I don't know if you saw his shoes. He debuted them yesterday, the baby blues. Oh, my gosh.
No, I didn't see him.
Oh, those are amazing, dude. I'm going to get you those.
You know, though, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. When I was growing up, the basketball players never wore sneaks that didn't match the uniform. Now, it doesn't matter. If you're, you know, if you're in red, white, and blue, you're wearing purple. I mean, what Maxey had purple sneaks on last night. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I thought it was all supposed to be uniformed. I guess I'm old school.
Well, Berman sent me a picture. Last night you wore pink alligator boots to the dinner, so I don't know what that
Yeah, right.
I don't know what that means. I don't know.
We won't go there, Patrick.
Yeah, we won't, and I don't want to ask details. I don't know if you have an early – well, obviously I know you're going to take the Hawks catching 7. I wonder if we spend a second on where we think this number is going to end up. We'll get Josh Applebaum. We'll get Thomas Gable in just a little bit to talk about it as well. I don't
– Well, Thomas is happy as hell. He gets more Philly money to come in, although he probably – you know, last night we were talking at dinner. I mean, he gets so much of the Philly money, you know, just ridiculous. And last night, like you said, I mean, when they just dribbled it out, that easily could have been a 2-point win for a Philly. I mean, they make a three and they go in. Instead, they dribbled it out for a 5-point cover for 76er fans. It's always interesting.
Yeah, that was, I'm guessing, for Thomas Gable, a costly dribble out because he'd prefer. I mean, you know what he'd prefer? He'd prefer the 76ers win by 2 last night because he gets that Hawks money, but he gets a game 7, so he gets a big handle coming up tomorrow.
He's going to have a big handle on this one for sure. And he'll get a lot of, he will get a lot of 76er money even at the plus 7. People think. See, I think there's a mentality. People think they're just going to rout them. They're going to blow them out like they did in Game 5, but finish it.
Yeah, I'd be careful.
I don't think that's the case.
I'd be careful with that logic.
I don't think that's the case.
I would agree with you.
But look, I got to say this: as negative as I am on the 76ers, I feel like they've won this series 4 times. I mean, it's gone to 7, and it should have never gotten past 5.
I think that's I think you're onto something. I do. I did write down specifically if you were proud of them, because I agree the fact that you call them a bit soft, obviously, and this comes down to organizationally. But they did show something, because the crowd was awesome. Atlanta was into it. Atlanta was hitting shots early, and they weathered the storm. You like to see it if you're a Philly backer.
Yeah. But I think, look, the two players who won the game for them, Maxey and Curry, were never part of the
that
organization.
Is wild.
They weren't part of the process of the softness. I mean, you know, give Tobias Harris, he challenged himself, he played better. But I mean, the fact is they have not indoctrinated Maxey or Curry into the soft program yet. Give them time now. We'll get them softer.
Wait,
don't worry.
I didn't realize the process that was built around the tenets of softness. Now I'm realizing. I thought
it's all about softness. Look, I'm telling you, it's reliably reported to me. It's reliably reported to me that a lot of the 76ers staff, they're fighting the process. They're fighting the entitlement. Hankey basically told everybody in the organization, let Embiid and Simmons do whatever they want to do. Do not challenge them on anything. I mean, that's a fact. Like, I'm not making that up. And so what Doc is sharing with friends in the league and coaches on the Sixers are sharing with friends in the league is that they're fighting this process all the way through. The self-entitlement, the feeling that you don't have to work hard, the ability that you get anything you want, and then when it gets tough, it's okay to quit. That's really what we're dealing with. And I think that that's the challenge that Rivers has had. Now, he's not going to admit that publicly, but I think that's privately what they're all saying. And guys like Maxey, who they bring in into what they want to try to build as a culture, showed that he's not buying into that yet.
That is such a great point, because I wrote down the two most important players, obviously Seth Curry with the 6 3-pointers, the 24 points, following up a 30-plus point game prior. And then Tyrese Maxey, who, I hate to pick on Simmons, but if you just juxtapose the body language and just you could just see Maxey emanates with confidence and Simmons looks scared.
Yeah, but I think if they played Maxey and Simmons at the same time, where Maxey could really, you know, work on, and somebody's got to guard Maxey who can really guard. I mean, at some point, when are we going to go after the guy Trae Young's guard?
Right.
And Simmons should be able to roll to the rim and get as many dunks as he wants. I mean, you know, that's the part that I don't get. You know, I don't understand it. And if somebody wants to kick, somebody's got to cover Curry.
I'll tell you, Trae Young ain't afraid to shoot, though. You know that?
No, no.
He'll pull up.
From anywhere.
He'll pull up at midcourt. I mean, it's been a fun series. I'll just put it that way. It's been an entertaining series, and we got a game 7 coming up tomorrow in Philly. I can't wait. Coming up next, we've got, for the first time in 51 years, the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. We'll discuss what a second half. Come on back Saturday, Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. You got wagering on over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks. It's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. Secure payments, attentive customer service, reliable website. It's all brought to you by ExpressBet. You see the deposit match up to $100. Just use the promo code VEGAS100 and get up to a $100 match bonus on your first deposit. Visit VSiN.com/horses for details. That's VSiN.com/horses and the promo code VEGAS100. As we welcome you back, hi, hope you're having a nice Saturday. I'm Patrick Maher. He's the birthday boy, Michael Lombardi. We've got to talk about the Clippers. So the sellout crowd, the first one. I lived in Los Angeles. I have no clue where 18,000 Clipper fans came from. I swear to you that. 51 years, their first trip to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, so you said 51 years. They've not been in L.A. 51 years, right? So this goes back to the Boston Braves was the last time they've been to a conference final?
This goes back to, am I getting them confused with San Diego? Because the Los Angeles chart, I'll look that up. But 51 years in franchise history, first time to a conference final.
Oh, I don't doubt that they are. I don't doubt this. I'm just trying
they
to
got
figure
to,
out.
They got to Los Angeles in the 80s, early 80s is what I'm guessing. JJ, look that up.
They were the Buffalo Braves. They got to San Diego in 78.
San Diego. Yeah, it was San Diego. It was San Diego in 78.
They were the Buffalo Braves for 8 years. Then they were the San Diego Clippers for 6. And then they became the Los Angeles Clippers since 84. So I guess the last time they were there was what?
So we're kind of on point
with
that. 84.
Yeah, I mean,
so they've been there for about 37 years, and they've never made it to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, they went on. Now, think about this. They fell behind by 25. Then they went on an improbable 75-40 run. Now, we could talk about this game for two and a half hours because of Gobert and Snyder and his just reluctance to take him out of the game, which is important. But also, let's compare Maxey to Terrence Mann. Remember Mann, a second rounder out of Florida State? You're talking about evaluation and scouting. How about the fact that this kid, second year starting for Kawhi, had 39 points, hit 7 three-pointers, and was the catalyst last night?
Unbelievable. And I mean, he was fearless. I mean, he did it all over the court. I mean, he, first of all, he had so many wide open threes. He had time to check the meters, to make sure it looked right, looked left. You know, he coughed twice and then he shot the three pointer. It was unbelievable. I mean, there was no one near him. I mean, he got a chance to get, it was really like practice. I mean, it was worse. It was better than practice. I mean, there was no rush to what he had to do, but give him credit. I mean, look, he made the shots and he did it at the rim too, Patrick. That was the impressive part. He was dominant at the rim. I mean, early in the game when he took over, I mean, it was, look, they shot 51% as a team from the, Beverly was making threes. You know, they were making threes all over the place. Batum was making threes.
Reggie Jackson? Reggie Jackson has been awesome.
Was 10 of 16 from the floor. I mean, it was amazing. Beverly gave him 12 points off the bench. But, you know, and look, the Clippers, the Jazz, I mean, when you live and die by the sword, when you live and die by the three-point line, you shoot 47.7% from the three-point line and you lose because the other team shot 51%.
I know.
I mean, and they scored 81 points in the second half.
That was,
and I agree with you. I think Quinn, I think as much as, look, it's, I mean, what would you do if you're Quinn Snyder, right? You've got the defensive player of the year, and they're making you change. See, here's where football and basketball cross-sect, and it becomes so interesting, right? Because if I can formation a player off the field in football, can he be a dominant player? The answer is no. And what Tyronn Lue did was formation Gobert off the floor, but yet they didn't take him off the floor. So it would be like playing a middle linebacker against 11 personnel and trying to ask him to cover a nickel back, and you're wondering why every third and five they convert because they run an option route.
Here's what you need to know, Michael, and this is incredible. Mann's 39 points, 31 of them were on Gobert as the primary defender. He couldn't get out to him. So
he wasn't even near him, Patrick.
I know. What is Snyder thinking? I understand he's a three-time defensive player of the year, but he got exposed. And you've got Ingles, you've got Clarkson on the bench. You can go small.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was unbelievable. I mean, you know, there he is.
Think about it.
At some point, if you got to adjust it, right? Like, you know, if you go small with them and you put somebody who can hug up Man, I mean, literally, just look at the shots Man was taking. He had such wide open shots. Here's a guy that averaged on the season 7 points, played 13 minutes, and he comes in. He's the 48th pick overall in the draft. You know, you can't get talent in the second round. Just keep that in mind, Patrick, please.
That's what I heard.
I know. You have to have a top three pick or else you'll never win in the NBA. But the reality of it is like, look, the guy's so wide open.
It's unbelievable. The fact that Snyder didn't adjust is unconscionable. We'll come back with Josh Applebaum, a market update. We'll get you set up here on a Saturday, Lombardi Line. Looking to make some golf bets, of course, U.S. Open. Mr. Bland, the Englishman atop the leaderboard this weekend. Don't miss a special After the Cut edition of Long Shots. It's the podcast with Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds looking ahead to the weekend at the U.S. Open to tell you who's worth playing and who is worth fading at Torrey Pines. Long Shots podcast, vsin.com/podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. And just a note, today in the daily newsletter, shout to Bill AD and Josh Applebaum, who's going to join. You can sign up for free over at vsin.com. Just enter your email address. You got some picks in there as far as Brady Cannon and the golf as well. I was thinking about this as we say hi and welcome you back on Michael's birthday here on the Lombardi Line. What a birthday weekend for you. So tomorrow you got a game seven with the 76ers. You've got the final round at the U.S. Open. We're going to open that series with the Clippers and Suns. We'll get to that number with Josh in a market update here. You got VGK. You got hockey all over the place. This is a hell of a weekend, huh?
Father's Day. Then I got my anniversary on Monday. I mean, it's, yeah, Father's Day tomorrow, anniversary on Monday. I mean, it's bang, bang, bang. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, shout to the fathers, by the way. They tend to be like an eight seed, JJ, behind them. Even my dad. Shout to my dad. Yeah. They tend to be like eight seeds. Like, Mom's Day is important. And trust me, I understand. Right, my mom's so important. But dads get a little overlooked.
Just so you know. Yeah, like it's Father's Day weekend, but you know, your man Bill Berman, he's making drinks for the beach. I mean, there's no rest for the weary. I mean,
I don't believe you. I don't believe that.
Yeah. Oh, he's out there. You know, he's got to do chores. I mean, he's over there.
Every day is Father's Day in Bill Berman's world, though. Let's be fair. It's his world we're living in.
Bill Berman lives in a sorority. Don't walk in his shoes. He lives in a sorority house. He's got three other women in there.
I believe you. Josh Applebaum, of course. Market Insights is the pod. Hi, Joshua. And as we say hi, I know you just texted Michael. It is his birthday, so we celebrate today. What's going on, man?
Oh, hey, guys, how are you? Michael, happy birthday. Big day for you. You didn't have to sweat. Your non-superstitiousness, I guess, came through yesterday. So hope you had a good meal there with TG and the crew. But
yeah, they do much better when I don't watch, Josh. I think that's pretty clear. They do way better when I don't watch.
I heard they were playing the clip. I heard they were playing the clip from the other day in the locker room before the show of you saying they were soft.
They should.
They should. Works.
They should hear it. They listen to it. That's the that's what they are. I mean, I'm not lying. I didn't make it up. If you know anything about sports, if you study anything about team building, if you study anything about championship teams, if you think they're not soft, you have no idea what you're talking about. If you think it's one player's problem, you have no idea what you're talking about. It's about toughness, mental toughness, physical toughness. That's what wins championships.
Josh, what do we take from the two on the wood and one on the ice last night?
Yeah, a couple things here, Patrick. So let's start with the NBA. You know, looking at what we saw, I think, with the Jazz Clippers. So remember, both games yesterday were big contrarian opportunities, both with grabbing the points with the Hawks, both with grabbing the points and the Clippers. You kind of split there, 1-1 ATS, obviously. The other interesting thing is you had a lot of over money in both of these games, Patrick. We did talk about, you know, Jazz and Clippers, the Jazz open around, you know, -1.5, -2. With the injury update to Conley, we saw that thing get up to 3. But really, there was always kind of that liability. A lot of books that were at 3 were still juicing up the 3, maybe leaning on the 2.5. So I think, you know, we talked about this game yesterday, the Clippers being in a really buy-low opportunity spot there and obviously needed a huge comeback there to cash. But then the total, guys, you know, that was a 220, rose to 221. You saw this late money come into the over, really cruise there, didn't have to sweat it too much. And then 76ers Hawks, Michael, that one was, you know, you didn't have to watch that one, luckily, but I was holding that +3 with the Hawks ticket. Patrick, I think you're right. Missing all those free throws, you're really, you know, kind of shoot yourself in the foot there if you're a Hawks fan. But that thing was a 3, and it was a line freeze 3. It didn't really move off of 3. At sometimes it dipped down to 2.5. So that was a play that, you know, the wise guys were leaning the points there. It didn't come through. And there was some over money. And what's intriguing to me, kind of was surprising, is that 76ers Hawks game, guys, it opened 221 to the total. It got bet late, all the way up to 223.5. So you had a lot of oversteam that ended up being wrong with that one. Obviously a low scoring game. But here's one update, guys, before we get to big game 7, Nets and Bucks. We have a new NBA favorite to win the title, guys. The Phoenix Suns. The new updated odds at BetMGM. The Suns are the +250 favorite to win the NBA title. It's the first time all year the Suns have been favored. Then you have the Nets +275, Clips +350, Bucks +500, 76ers +800, Michael. $100 bet gets the 800 if they cut down the Nets. Hawks big underdog +3,500. But look, I wanted to ask you, do you believe in the Suns? Do you agree with the Suns now being favored to win the NBA title? Do you like their chances?
You know, I think this is anybody's game. I really do. I don't look at the Suns and say, wow, they're not beatable. I think, you know, look, as much as, you know, I think the winner of the Milwaukee-Brooklyn series has got as good a chance as Phoenix does. I mean, at least they'll be battle-tested. And, you know, I know Chris Paul's a good player, and I know Devin Booker's really good. But, you know, the Suns play good defense. I get all that. But, I mean, are they really the best team in the NBA? I don't see that. You know, do I think if Brooklyn got healthy, they would beat them? Sure. I think Milwaukee could beat them if they were tough enough. If Philly was tough enough, this would be the year for Philly to do it. I mean, this is the year that anybody could be in play. So I would not dismiss any of those odds. You know, I wouldn't bet Philly at 8-1 because I don't think they're tough enough. But I would bet I would lean towards Brooklyn or the Milwaukee winner as the champion.
And by the way, Chris Paul, we have no clue if he's going to play. We're going to get an update on Chris Paul today. Remember, he's in quarantine because of COVID. The earliest possible start date, we knew this, is coming up tomorrow for the Western Conference Finals with Chris Paul. Obviously, an advantageous spot for the Suns, Josh. But this is a tough turnaround for the Clippers. First time in 51 years they make the Western Conference Finals. They scored 81 points in the second half last night. They turn around, fly to Phoenix. But my guess is we're not going to see Paul tomorrow because he has to have two consecutive cleared tests. And I don't think we're even past one. I'm getting updates right now. It's a little nebulous.
Yeah, Patrick, I think you're totally right. So two big injury concerns. Remember, Chris Paul had that positive COVID test. As you said, Patrick, he's got to clear two tests to be able to play. Then Kawhi Leonard, you know, dealing with that knee injury. We don't know about Kawhi's status. We do have series prices in game one odds, though. So if you look at the series price here, the Suns are a minus 135 favorite. Kind of short here. I was surprised by that. 57% implied probability. The Clippers, a plus 115 dog here to win that series. And we do have numbers for tomorrow. So this game did open. You look at the Suns, a four-point favorite at home. Again, Chris Paul's status up in the air. Kind of lean and thinking, hey, we'll depending on what, and this is like with basketball always, guys, stay glued to Twitter, stay glued to these updates, because if it's minus four now, if you see Paul out, maybe this thing gets down to three. If you see him, maybe he clears these tests, it rises up to five. So I think that's kind of the knife's edge that you're walking right now with that series. But Michael, who do you give the advantage there to? Would you lay the short price with the Suns to win the series, or do you think the Clips plus 115, little plus money value there?
I might take the Clips at plus 115. I mean, look, you know, I know they don't have Kawhi Leonard, but I mean, I think they can play it. They've got guards that could cover. Man, the way he's played the last, Paul George is playing better than I thought he could play. So I might lean towards the Clips here. I mean, I think the Clips have done a good job, and I think they're battle-tested. I mean, they lose two in a row. I mean, the Dallas series really battle-tested them, and then they lose two in a row. You know, you talk about mental toughness. I think that they proved that they are mentally tough. They lose two. They lose to Dallas. They come back, win game seven. They lose the first two games to Utah and then sweep them four in a row. So for me, I would lean towards the Clippers.
Complete secrecy on Paul right now. As the updates come in throughout the show, we'll keep you updated. Josh, there is steam on the Nets. We'll come back with that next here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. MGM, the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today, win $100 if you place a $1 wager on any NBA playoff game and either team hits a three-pointer. You're going to win $100. You see it right there. New customers bet $1 to win $100. Use the bonus code VSIN100. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text Redline 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT as we welcome you back. And again, the Chris Paul news, it's more of a secret than what Josh sent Michael for his birthday, because we can't find information, but we will find it. And I woke up early to a text from Josh Applebaum as we welcome you back. Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. He's Josh Applebaum. Pros and Joes both on the Nets. Let's go ahead, set this up for Michael.
Yeah, Michael, this is going to be a great breakdown here, because I think what you're seeing is really consistent lopsided action on the Nets in this spot. Remember, game seven, Brooklyn had a 2-0 lead. And then kind of, you've seen the Bucks really kind of storm back here, won three of the last four. What I like about this one, guys, you know, someone told me a long time ago, you know, I always thought that what we call pros and Joes is a phrase you're going to hear a lot kind of in the betting community. Pros are kind of your wise guys, your professional bettors, your sharp bettors. Joes are kind of just your casual bettors, your recreational bettors who bet for fun. And I always thought, you know, when I first kind of got into the industry, that they're always on opposite sides. You know, if pros like something, you know, Joes are on the other side. But really, I think what you got to think about is, you know, sometimes they're on the same side. And again, you know, sharp bettors or wise guys, they're not going to say, hey, if the public's on team A, then we can't be on team A. The pros don't care what the public's doing. If they have an edge, and really what pros do is they set their own numbers. And if they find an edge where hey, you know, they have a 3-point game. The line's won. They're going to hit that favorite. I think that's what you're seeing today, guys, because we saw this game open pretty much a pick 'em across the board. Some books were even like a -1 bucks. That might have been an outlier, but it was really a pick 'em type game, and we're seeing heavy betting and heavy money. So both ticket counts and money counts, super lopsided here on the Nets. The Nets have gone from a pick 'em now to -1.5. Some shops even are up to 2 right now. And you have the Nets that match a lot of systems, Michael, four of my favorite systems. So playoff favorites have done well this year, 61% ATS. Short playoff favorites, -5 or less, 28-16 ATS, 64%. Favorites off a blowout. If you lose by 10 or more, you come back the next game. It's a good buy low opportunity. You're 56% ATS in that spot. And then favorites with a line move. If you see the line going to the favorite, remember, public really doesn't move these numbers. It's respected money forcing the odds makers to adjust their price. Favorites with a line move, 25-17 ATS, 60%. And then, of course, Patrick, you know, the elephant in the room here, game 7 unders. We talk about this a lot, but defensive emphasis, tired legs, a lot of data and film to go off of to match up and lock down on defense. You've seen these game 7 unders, 63% ATS, or 63% overall over the past decade or so. So, Michael, what do you think? Do you like this move to the Nets? Would you be intrigued by a money line play overlaying the 1.5 to save yourself a little bit? And what do you think of this total here? Do we get another low-scoring game?
I mean, I don't see why we wouldn't get another low score game. Game 7, it's always difficult. I guess my question back to you, Josh, is this is the perfect opportunity for the contrarian bet, right? You know, if you walk into a bar and everybody's wearing a Brooklyn jersey, don't you want to bet the Bucks?
So that's the one thing. Give me a little apprehension here, Michael. You are totally right. As a contrarian, this is
busted. I would
like to buy low on the Bucks. So I'm busted. The principal called me into the room here, Patrick, but. You are totally right, Michael. That contrarian value on the Bucks is really huge here because, again, you have almost 8 out of 10 bets here on the Nets. My thing as a contrarian, though, is, you know, I want to be against the public but with the sharps. And it seems to me I haven't really seen any respected money on the Bucks because this line movement's been all the way to the Nets pretty much the whole time. So that kind of cancels it out for me. I don't want to stubbornly bet against the public. I want to do it if there's also smart money. And to me, the fact that you have public on the Nets, you know, I want to be against that. But this line movement tells me you also have a lot of respected money. And to me, kind of being on that sharp side might outweigh or diminish a little bit of this contrarian value.
You know, it's interesting. The Nets. Please, Michael.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I was going to say.
I was just going to say, if the line moved.
We got a little delay there, but I will say this, and you know, Michael, you and I talked about it. The Nets never fired in game six. And what's interesting is KD, while he had, what, 30-plus points, it didn't really feel like that same KD effort, turnovers early. And I'll say this, Michael, and I apologize for interrupting, but 216, I almost feel like there's an overcorrection. Game one, we had it up to 240. So, and I know the trends towards game seven unders, but, man, that's quite a correction, huh?
Yeah, I think it is, and I would say this: if this line went from 1.5 down to 1, would that indicate sharp money's coming in on Brooklyn, Milwaukee? Would you like it then? You know, I think that's the question.
Yeah.
And I do think Brooklyn was playing possum up in Milwaukee. I think they probably have put their chips in the middle of the table, saying we're going to go one game all in. Durant's going to play sensational, and I would have a hard time leaning against Kevin Durant and even Harden, who's got to be better than he was in this game. And you got to feel like they can muster it up for one game.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Michael. Yeah.
Go ahead,
Patrick,
Josh.
Patrick, I would just say, you know, this line move is kind of reminiscent a little bit to a couple games ago when Kevin Durant went off. Remember, he put up those ridiculous numbers, you know, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. I mean, filled the stat sheet, cashed a million over props for a lot of bettors there. But remember, that one was at one point, Bucks -4.5, got all the way down to 1. So they were a dog with a line move. Now it's kind of flipped a little bit with a favorite with a line move. And Michael, you bring up a great point. You know, this was a pick 'em type game. The odds makers are saying to you, hey, this is going to be close. But you know, again, I go back to the fact of odds makers, and when we talk to TG, you know, they'll take a position on a game. So even though if they're getting hammered, you know, recreational bettors on one side, I think it's these bigger wagers that they're concerned about with the Nets moving this number a pick to Nets -1.5.
It's also interesting, PJ Tucker, if you're a Bucks backer, go listen to the post game after game 6 from PJ Tucker, and you'll feel good about your bet. My gosh, he's saying he's going to die out there on the floor. And Michael, one thing, Kyrie has been ruled out. I got the impression from Steve Nash that he's a ways away, so no Kyrie tonight.
Yeah, I think Kyrie has a high ankle sprain. They don't want to say a high ankle sprain because when you say high ankle sprain, you could just see here on the picture. See where he's grabbing?
Yep.
That's high ankle sprain. That if he was grabbing lower, then, you know, this is Kyrie, you're not going to see him in the playoffs. I don't think so.
I agree.
I mean, even if you do, he'll have low lateral change of direction. It'll be impossible for him. And then, you know, Harden's just one real surge away from re-injuring that hamstring. I mean, he's out there. Give him credit. I mean, we kid Harden about his, you know, his lackadaisical going to nightclubs, all that. But, I mean, here's the guy. He's a warrior. He's out there with no real movement. I mean, played, what, 40-some minutes the other night and really can't move, can't burst. And he's doing everything he can to help his team. And this is, to me, this is going to be the Kevin. I mean, I guess what are you going to bet? Are you going to bet on Giannis and Middleton duplicating what they did the last game, or are you going to bet on Kevin Durant? I'm going to bet on Kevin Durant.
It would be impossible for Middleton to be more efficient, Josh, than he was in Game 6. It, just a remarkable performance. And you saw when Giannis gets to the rack, I mean, he just showed a little bit of an edge, which we hadn't seen. The team showed a little bit of an edge. But Michael's point about the possum comment, the Nets pulled their starters with a little over four to go in Game 6. That's getting ready for Game 7, Josh.
I agree with you, Patrick, and it sounds like, you know, kind of the way Nash said that is, hey, we'll give you this game again. That was kind of a tough spot going to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee did come up big for Sharps in that game. Remember, that was a kind of a classic fade the trendy dog. They were like -3.5 up to 5. They covered that number, but I'm with you. So you got a little bit extra rest here, and also I think, you know, I think Sharps are not outsmarting themselves too much. I think, number one, Michael, you're right. I would love this contrarian value with the Bucks, but kind of the fact that all movement has been toward the Nets, that tells me a lot of respect and money is saying, hey, we're getting Durant. We're getting this team at home. We've seen this big home versus road split, obviously, throughout the playoffs. And, Patrick, just one thing about the total here. You're totally right. You know, you look at kind of the adjusted total throughout the series, it's gone down every single game. These are the totals from game one. 240, 238, 235, 228, 222, 220.5, and now we're at 216. So every single game, remember, the under is 5-0-1 this series. We went into this thinking there's going to be a lot of high-scoring games. So you do worry, like, hey, if I'm betting an under, you know, I'm almost, what, you know, 20 points adjusted from that opener. But I do think with these Game 7 under trends, the fact that the under has done well, maybe even though you say, hey, I'm getting a deflated number here, I'm walking into kind of a hornet's nest, these unders have come through, especially in these Game 7s.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's funny, though. This is, I mean, you spend more time discussing the referees than I do, but you got Mark Davis, John Goble, and Josh Tiven. And, you know, both of them are, they average right around 199 to 202 in game on referees. I mean, Tiven is a 48.4% under referee. Goble is 52.3, and Davis is 53.8. So it'll be interesting. And usually all of them are home team referees. They're road teams. I mean, 48% for Davis on the home team, 47% on Tiven for the home team, and 50% for Goble on the home team. So, you know, that favors, you would think that favors the under, and it favors Milwaukee.
Look, Josh is like a virus. He's even got my man now breaking down the referee.
I love it.
He's seeping into
I mean, I knew Scott Foster was refereeing that game last night. You wonder why we're complaining about the officiating?
Scott Foster got more FaceTime than Embiid last night, which was
nobody,
good to see.
Nobody likes it more than Scott Foster. No, he really thinks people are paying to come see him referee.
He
thinks that's the case, yeah.
It's like somebody just texted me, Foster is like Applebaum on the Lombardi line. Hey, bro, it's not about you.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm third fiddle. I'm here to make you guys look good. That's all. But Michael, you are right.
Yeah. You're that middle square on Holiday Inn. You're the middle square on Hollywood Squares. You're good. You know, I mean, you got it down. This is going to be interesting. If this line moves to one, or even if it goes a little bit towards Milwaukee, I want to see what my man does.
I'm right there with you, Michael. I think this is a perfect game. Again, only game in town, 8:30, primetime Saturday night. You can't set up a bigger public national, you know, basketball platform than you have tonight. I think you're right, Michael. We're sitting on 2, 1.5. I think this is a great game to stay glued to the live odds page and see, does this thing get down to one? Does it creep up to 2.5? I think the next move is critical because it's going to tell you when game day limits get raised and those bigger bets come in, do we see further movement toward the Nets? I think if you like the Nets, you see this go to 2.5. If you want to go contrarian with the Bucks, you want to see this thing fall before we get to tip off.
Okay, Josh, we'll talk to you in the next hour. By the way, nothing says date night with Elise like Bucks Nets Game 7 tonight at 8:30.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Get excited.
Can't wait. I'm excited.
Quite amorous. We come back. Apparently, Drew Lock is dominating in Denver. No need for Aaron Rodgers. Is that the case? We'll ask the birthday boy. Coming up next here on Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.